Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play. I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, and when it's dry and ready, oh dreidel, I shall play. Oh dreidel, dreidel.
The a cappella group called Sheer Soul, S-H-I-R Soul, Sheer Soul. With the traditional dreidel song, the Hanukkah song. Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends that are celebrating the Festival of Lights. Saw in a really great spot on one of my favorite food websites, Epicurious.com, of new recipes and new ideas for Hanukkah. Best and brightest Hanukkah recipes. We wanted to share some of those with you. Anya Hoffman from Epicurious is on the line with us. Anya, hello and welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you on with us here today. Now, you know, Hanukkah, like, you know, so many religious holidays, regardless of the faith, is about tradition. So it's got to be a little bit challenging, right? Keeping in tradition, but coming up with some new ideas at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you also, you find that some people are very loyal to the traditions that they grew up with and only want to have the same exact latkes that their bubby made them when they were kids. And some people, my husband always likes to experiment a little bit. So, you know, sometimes you want to make everybody happy by having a little bit of each.
Yeah, a few years ago on the television side, I made some alternative versions of latkes, potato pancakes, you know, non-fried versions, you know, so-called healthier versions of them, and they were okay. You know, they were tasty enough, but so many people said, you know, it's once a year. I'm having, as you say, I want the recipes that my bubby made for me.
Right. Well, especially for Hanukkah, also, I think going the non-fried route is. I just think that's a mistake, since the holiday is all about the festival of oil. It's celebrating this miracle of oil that happened. So that's why the foods on Hanukkah, they are not diet foods. It's fried potatoes, fried donuts. You know, we're sort of celebrating the fry. So I agree. I think going with that once a year and just letting it be is the right thing to do.
Yeah, your doctor's going to have to excuse you for 8 days, right? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what is the secret to the perfect latke, the potato pancake? But sometimes they're too greasy. Sometimes they fall apart. You know, there's all kinds of things that happen. What's the secret?
You know, I think there's a few. The biggest two things that I think are the most important. One is you have to use russet potatoes, regular old Idaho baking potatoes. Don't want to use the Yukon Gold or those waxier sort of potatoes. Russets have like the perfect amount of starch, and that's going to help keep your latke nice and light and crisp and not get too dense.
Okay.
So that's one thing. And then the other is that you have to have the oil hot enough. You can't try to fry in lukewarm or not quite hot oil. If you do that, then the latke is just going to soak up all that oil, and it's just going to get super duper greasy and gross.
Yeah, right.
So you have to, usually you want to make your test latke. It's like, when you're making pancakes too, you always, the first one's never great.
Right.
You make your test latke, and you make sure that that heat is high enough and that the latke is nice and crisp. And, and then the cook can eat it. If it comes out perfectly, you're ready to go.
So you take the russet potatoes, unpeeled russet pototatoes, right? You want the skin of the potato as part of this, right?
Well, definitely. You can just throw that in there. You really won't taste it. It gets in with the latkes, and it saves you a step. Now, for some people, that would be crazy talk, and they would always peel their potatoes. But you don't have to. You really can just, if you're just throwing them in the food processor or even grating them by hand, you can just use them with the peel on. And you put an egg, and you have to sort of dry it up with something, just, as if you're making, so it's not too wet. So you can use regular breadcrumbs if you don't have anything else, but I love to use matzah meal. It really gives it the right amount of crispiness without making it too dense.
Okay, and yeah, because you're grating the potatoes or doing them in the the food processor. I say if you're going to do it and you want to do it old school like your bubby did, you should get one of those box graters. You know, and if your fingers aren't bleeding at some point during this process, you're not doing it properly. That's the way that she would have wanted it, right?
100%. My grandmother would never have used a food processor.
Right.
We used to beg her to get one to make it easier, but she did it by hand with that box grater the whole time. And I do think it tastes better that way.
Yeah. Well,
but
I mean,
if you're making,
doesn't it change slightly the chemistry of the potato also by having the blade chopping up the potato as opposed to a hand grate?
I mean, I think it can. You can run the risk. That's why I wouldn't puree them in a food processor. You run the risk of just getting that starch too starchy and working it too much.
Right.
But I think if you just do it quickly in the food processor, you're okay. It goes very fast, and it's only going through once. And if you're making latkes for a crowd, it's really rough to do it any other way.
Right, by hand, yeah, and really more pulsing than. Setting it and forgetting it. That's where you start to run into trouble.
Exactly. You're just running it through the grating blade. You're not mashing it up once it's in there with the regular blade.
So the russet potatoes, yellow onions is what you like, matzo meal hold it all together, egg, salt, pepper, and oil that is hot. Do you like to do it like in a cast iron?
Yes.
A pan, old school like that, right?
Absolutely. I love the cast iron. It holds the heat better than anything else. You need to give it a little bit of extra time to heat up so the whole pan is really hot. But the best thing to do is if you have two cast iron pans is to put them both out and work them both at once so you can do as many latkes as possible at the same time.
Yeah, because when you put the latkes in the oil anyway, it's going to bring down the temperature a little bit. By having the two pans, you can kind of keep your production going with super hot oil the whole time. So you cook them until they're done to your eye, I guess, pretty much, right?
Yes. Yes. You cook them until you can tell when they're getting crispy and golden brown. Once you put them in the pan, you really want to just leave them there. I like to flatten them a little bit so that they are a little bit thinner, and that way the insides of the latkes get cooked through, and you don't get that sort of undercooked insides with the crispy outsides.
About 3 to 4 minutes per side is what the recipe says, right?
Exactly. And then you'll see that they'll be nice and golden brown, and then you just want to make sure that you put them on a wire, cooling rack, that you'd use for, cooling cookies, so that the oil can drain, and then that way you can keep it hot in a warm oven.
Applesauce is a must for topping. Sour cream is a must for topping. Any other super fancy schmancy toppings that you like to put on?
Well, I mean, if you really want to go fancy, you could put some smoked salmon on there and a little bit of creme fraiche and a little caviar and have it more like a sub in for a bellini. That could be, if you do little tiny ones of those, that would be like a lovely hors d'oeuvre to serve at a party. So that's one thing you can do. You could do fried eggs or poached eggs on top. But I just am partial to the basics. I love it with applesauce and sour cream, and I use both.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. When we come back from the break, a couple of other new ideas for Hanukkah recipes. Anya Hoffman, senior editor with Epicurious.com, one of my favorite food sites, is on the line with us, and we'll be back next on WGN. Talking with our friend Anya Hoffman, senior editor, Epicurious.com, about new ideas, new recipes for Hanukkah. Our Food Time show today, sponsored by the Greek Islands Restaurants. Enjoy the warm Mediterranean ambiance of authentic Greek dining at the award-winning Greek Islands Restaurant. With extra virgin olive oil, with seafoods, wines, herbs, and spices all imported directly from Greece, providing you delicious and healthy meals. Favorites include their whole Mediterranean sea bass and baked chicken rigonati, homemade gyros. Call now to plan a holiday get-together with family or friends and reserve one of their party rooms available at both Greek Island locations. Or get catering. Let the Greek Islands do all the work. Pick up your party trays and serve. Since 1971, the Greek Islands is Chicago's first choice for great food and reasonable prices. Don't forget, the parking is free. Visit Greek Islands today, 200 South Halsted, or in Lombard, 300 East 22nd Street. Greek Islands, America's most popular Greek restaurants. So what are some other twists, Anya, that we're looking at in this amazing collection of great recipes that you've got posted here? You know, brisket, I know, is traditional, and I see a couple of recipes on here for some interesting interesting twists on recipes.
Yeah, you know, one that I really love in this collection is the coffee-rubbed brisket. That's from Chef Michael Solomonov, who's a chef with many amazing restaurants in Philadelphia. And the cool thing about this recipe is that he uses ground strong Turkish coffee or espresso as a flavoring for the rub for the brisket, along with cinnamon and cardamom. So it gives it like a deeper flavor that's a little bit different from your sort of basic brisket, you know, Jewish brisket, which usually just has paprika and garlic and onion powder.
And then how is the brisket prepared? Is it you know, steamed or is it roasted?
It's roasted. Well, first you roast it for just about 45 minutes or so at a higher temperature, just to give it a little bit of color and to get your give it a little brown to your vegetables that are in there. And then you lower the heat all the way down to 300 and you cover it with foil, and then you roast it for several hours. And that's what I love about these kinds of dishes, is you can just have it going all day long. This one takes between 4.5 to 6 hours to cook, depending on your brisket.
Got to be so delicious with those spices and, and slow roasted like that. The flavors have to be so great. You know, fritters, you mentioned oil being such an important part of the holiday, and apple fritters are not that uncommon. But you've got a good recipe of the apple fritters with a spiced sugar, again, combining some unusual flavor mates in here.
Yes, I love this because it has all the flavors of Hanukkah, but in a totally different way. It's got that the fry, like crispy fry that you get from a donut or a latke, and it's got that apple like you get from the applesauce, and that spiced sugar with the cinnamon and also with cardamom and a little black pepper. And it's so much easier to do than a donut, because you're basically just slicing apples and making a sort of apple tempura. You use a beer batter, a very simple flour beer batter, to coat them, and then you just fry them up and dip them in that spiced sugar.
What a great combination of flavors there. You can take a look at all of these recipes and so many more at epicurious.com, where you have a special event that is coming up. Is it the Cook 90 Challenge? Is that what it's called?
Yes, it's the Cook 90 Challenge. We're starting that in January. And basically the challenge, which everybody on staff participates in, is to cook 3 meals a day for all 31 days of January. And you get 3 meals as freebies. You can have 3 meals out all month, but for the rest of the month, you're cooking for yourself. And it's such a great way to get you back into the habit of cooking after the holidays, when you've been eating out and going to parties so much.
That's a great idea, and you must come up with there have to be some great ideas that come out of all of this cooking 3 meals a day for 31 days.
Absolutely. You just really get to know how to, you know, reuse leftovers, how to cook ahead of time, you know, how shortcuts you can take. And it's all about cooking in a very realistic way. It's not about making gourmet meals every night, but the sort of cooking you do for yourself and your family every night anyway, just getting back in the habit of that.
Anya Hoffman, senior editor, epicurious.com. Thank you for joining us, and happy Hanukkah to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy Hanukkah.